86 Productions.
Well, I got the clap and I can't pee. It burns, burns, burns. When I breathe, when I breathe, or when I breathe, burns, burns, burns.
Michael Blake, your show kicks butt.
Hey there, folks. It's your favorite redneck gal, Cheyenne, here. We are back in the studio to bring you another great episode of It Burns When I Pee. We are pretty good at keeping it clean for the Hank special, but I am sure we will be back to our normal raunchy ways from now on. We have another great lineup for episode number 7. We have an interview with William Elliott Whitmore, who is an amazing singer and songwriter. We also have a visit from our old friend Peter Chestnut. He is back to tell us another midnight lullaby. And last but not least, we have Jared Morningstar giving us another great CD review. So download the show, grab your iPod, and head on into the bathroom, because it's time for It Burns When I Pee.
Howdy, everybody. It's Blake Clayton, and you're listening to episode 7 of It Burns When I Pee, the only podcast around that talks about real country music. Hey, we got a great show for you. Today we have William Elliott Whitmore as our interview and our special guest. We're going to play about 3 songs of his. We are also going to have Jared Morningstar. He's going to give another CD review. The CD that he's going to be reviewing is Robbie Foulkes' live album, called Revenge. And finally, we have a special appearance from Peter Chestnut. For those of you that have downloaded episode 1 and heard it, Peter Chestnut comes on the show once in a great while. I think it's been a while since he's been on. He's been in jail or something. I think he was mowing his grass naked or something like that. But we have the perverted old sick Peter Chestnut back on the show. So let's get started. I want to give everybody the information about the photo contest. We have a winner. Her name is Quinsanne Hutchings, and she's from Galesburg, Illinois. You can go to our MySpace and check out all the photo entries, and you will see why Quinsanne was the winner. But I called Quinsanne. The audio didn't turn out very well, so I want to let everybody know that she's going to be receiving the Hackensaw Boys CD Lookout. She's also going to be receiving an It Burns When I Pee prize pack, which includes all 7 episodes, including this one, on CD. She's also going to get a copy of Episode 1's show art, autographed by Cheyenne and myself. And she's going to get an It Burns When I Pee limited edition t-shirt, which has the Pop Country Syndrome logo on it. So, Quinsanne, congratulations. Just to let everybody know, we're going to be doing a lot more promotions and a lot more giveaways. So, definitely get involved, and you could win some of this stuff. We are getting a lot of promotional stuff from the artists that we are interviewing, so I want to give that all back to you guys. I also wanted to spend a few minutes and talk about, on September 26th, I went over to Chicago and saw Joey Alcorn play at the Horseshoe. It was a great show. Joey always puts on a good show, and we sat and talked for quite a bit, and he's a really great guy, really down to earth. A lot of the new music of his that he was playing that's going to be on his next record are really good. So we're definitely looking forward to when Joey has a new album come out. I wanted to give a shout out to Joey and say thank you for spending some time with me and shooting the shit. I also wanted to spend a couple minutes talking about Hank Cash. That's the band that we played from our last episode, episode 6. They sang Moanin' the Blues, a cover of that. And I've been fortunate enough to talk to these guys via email for the past couple weeks, and they are really excited about being on the show. We're really excited to have them. And I actually got confirmation the other day that they're going to be sending us a whole bunch of promo stuff, t-shirts, autograph posters. So on the next episode, we're going to be doing a special Hank Cash giveaway. And it looks like they should have their own album out with original stuff probably in December or January. So we're going to have them on the show. And it's going to be a long-distance interview, but hey, whatever, that's cool. They're from Germany, and if you guys want to check them out, you can go to our MySpace and look on our friends list, and it's Hank Cash. These guys haven't been together too long, but they won a contest, a Walk the Line Johnny Cash contest over in Germany, and for the last couple years, these guys have been getting bigger and bigger and better and better. So we're looking forward to have them on the show. And again, I want to thank them for sending all the stuff out. We'll be getting it pretty soon in the mail. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get on with the next song. We're going to play Hank Cash with their version of the Wayne the Train Hancock song, Highway 54. After the music, we'll be back.
One, two, three. Sitting in the kitchen with my back against the wall, I was waiting for my baby, but my baby didn't call. Suddenly there came a stranger knocking on my door. He told me there had been a wreck out on Highway 54. She was with another man, was what the stranger said. I asked if she'd survive it, but he slowly shook his head. They were on the way to the other side of town. They tried to beat a freight train, and the freight train ran him down. Highway 54 took my love away from me. I knew she didn't want me, but I could not send her free. She was with another like so many times before. She paid the price of running around here on Highway 54.
Folks, you've heard us talk about pop country syndrome. If you or a loved one is suffering from PCS, then go to twangnation.com and get your fix of real country music news. Twangnation.com, because country music shouldn't suck.
Hi, I just wanted to thank It Burns When I Pee for cheering up my day. I had a really bad day. I listened to the episode number 3, and it made me laugh. Thanks.
All right, again, that was Hank Cash doing their version of Wayne the Train Hancock's Highway 54. I wanted to let everybody know that we're at about 1,400 downloads now total for all the shows, and that's a big number, and I'd like to thank everybody for supporting us and downloading the show. We've got a new map on our MySpace, and it tracks the people that come and visit the site, and we've got people from Australia, from Germany, from Brazil, a whole bunch of people from the United States, so it's great to see where people were coming from to listen to our show and checking us out. And definitely send us an email or send us a voicemail and tell us where you're from and tell us what you think of the show. Our email address again is at burnswhenip86@gmail.com. And our dial-in number is 309-761-4227. You have 2 minutes to leave any kind of message you want. We'll definitely play it on the show. So, again, contact us. Let us know where you're from. Let us know what you think of the show. We'd be happy to hear from you, and it would mean a lot to us. Also wanted to remind everybody about the It Burns When I Pee Section 86 online store where you can buy t-shirts and such. That's still in the works. We're still getting it made. We're still adding stuff to it all the time, but it is out there, and there is stuff that you can go ahead and purchase. But like I said, there's a lot more coming. The website for that is www.cafepress.com/section86. You can go and buy t-shirts and all kinds of stuff from either at Burns and IP or Section 86. So definitely check it out and see what you think. So now, I thought what we'd do is we'd play the William Elliott Whitmore interview. And of course, before the interview, we're going to play one of his songs called When Push Comes to Love. And then following the interview, we're going to play another one of his songs called Feast of a Thousand Beasts, which is from his duet album with Jenny Hoyston, and he talks about that in the interview. So again, first song, When Push Comes to Love, then we're going to have the interview with William Elliott Whitmore, followed by Feast of a Thousand Beasts. So check it out, and we'll be back later on. Everybody, to It Burns When I Pee, and we have a special guest with us today. His name is William Elliott Whitmore, and how are you doing today, William?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day here in Iowa.
All right, and that was my first question. It was, where are you from, and obviously from Iowa.
Yeah, I was born and raised and still live in Lee County, Iowa, which is the very southeastern tip of the state. It's right where the Mississippi River and the Des Moines River meet. kind of right there in the Fertile Crescent there.
Okay. And so there's a lot of people that might not have heard of you, but I wanted you to kind of describe how you would label your sound. What I mean, I would say it's kind of folk, but it's kind of got a country and kind of blues. What's the word that you use to describe it?
It's kind of hard for me to describe the exact sound, I guess, but yeah, farmbilly, maybe. Farmbilly bluesgrass.
There you go. I like that, farmbilly.
Yeah, it's kind of hard for me to even say. I kind of think folk sometimes, but it's kind of bluesy sometimes. And I guess mix it all up in a pot, and there you go.
Sure. And for a lot of people who haven't heard, maybe, you basically play the banjo and the guitar in your songs. Is that correct?
Yeah, yep.
And when did you start playing the banjo?
I've been playing the banjo about 11 years ago. My grandpa gave it to me. He played all through my childhood years, and I always really loved it. And I had played the acoustic guitar a little bit, and then before he passed away, he gave me his banjo, and so I started playing that mostly. And something about it just spoke to me a little more than the guitar for some reason.
It's definitely got a unique sound to it.
Yeah, I wanted to do something unorthodox, you know, and I just grew up listening to that music, and so I just took to the banjo right away.
Sure. And so who are some of your early musical influences when you first started playing music?
Well, I grew up listening to a lot of old country and old blues. My folks had a great record collection, and so did my grandpa, actually. We would spin records, and so I had the fortune of having a lot of good music around. Hank Williams, Lead Belly, even old Ray Charles and stuff like that. So I grew up listening to a lot of that, and then I discovered punk rock in my teens, and just in a magazine. Where I live, it's pretty geographically isolated, and so us farm kids got our news and stuff from Thrasher magazine, and that's where I found out about Bad Religion and the Minutemen and Public Enemy and stuff like that. And so, so I kind of started listening to that stuff at a later age, and I thought if I could apply that sort of ethic to the country scene, then I could really have something.
And so, besides your musical influences, how did you develop your style of music?
Well, it came also in part from always playing by myself, never really having anyone else to play with. Like, my old man played a little bit, but he couldn't really... He could kind of form some chords and stuff on the guitar, but I mostly just got used to playing just all by myself, and so I kind of developed a style that would fill up a lot of space, and just trying to flail on the banjo and just sing as loud as I can and stomp my foot and kind of just be a one-man band.
Sure.
And so, like I said, I was, into punk rock, and so I started touring with a lot of punk rock bands, and when you're playing in a venue like that with a bunch of rowdy kids, you have to really be energetic, and you have to really make a show for them to pay attention, and so I just started yelling my heart out, and so I guess it kind of came from that as well.
And I've listened to your music quite a bit, and I find you to be kind of an unbelievable lyricist, and what I was wanting to know was, where do you find your inspirations for your songs?
Well, inspiration is a wonderful thing. It can come in a lot of different forms, but a lot of those tunes were written after my folks passed away, and they died within a few years of each other, and that was in my teens, and I kind of went a little crazy at that time, and I didn't really know how to deal with anything, and so I started writing songs about it instead of just writing about things that I was feeling, and so that's why a lot of those tunes have sort of dark undertones to them, I was trying to work it out that way, and I was always a pretty avid reader, and so I'm into wordplay and sort of weaving words around, and so letting music be a healing thing that it definitely has been.
So when do you write, do you specifically sit down and say, I'm going to write a song about blank blank, or do you kind of just take notes whenever stuff comes to you and then sit down and kind of go through those notes and kind of become what will eventually become a song?
Well, it's kind of a little of both, and it's kind of different every time with different songs. Some songs will take just a few minutes to write, and they really start clicking along, and you'll just be out working or something and think of a line, and then kind of think of the next one, and they just kind of form themselves after a few minutes, and some take years for me to write, where I've had a particular verse in my head or something, but I haven't been able to work it all out But it's kind of a little bit of both. You'll get inspired by something, and then you kind of sit down and work it out, you know.
You've had three albums of your own, and then you had one album that was a duet album. Your first album was Hymns of the Hopeless, and that was in 2003. And then your second album was Ashes to Dust, which was in 2005. And then your last album was Songs of the Blackbird, which was released in 2006, along with, in the same year, 2006, The Hallways of Always, with a duet with Jenny Halston. In each of your personal three albums, I seem to find elements like on the Hymns of the Hopeless, kind of an earth element, Ashes to Dust. Throughout the album, there's kind of a fire element. And then on Songs of the Blackbird, there's kind of a water element. Was that planned?
Yes, very much so. Those three records are intended to be listened to back to back, three in a row. It kind of tells a story of a particular window of time in my life. And so it's very purposeful to have sort of those basic elements in there. I just have always enjoyed relating like farm themes to greater life themes, like, you know, planting in the spring, harvesting in the fall, and sort of how like life of the circle it compares to a farmer's year in certain ways. And I enjoy relating those things. And so the elements are very important in that, like you said, earth, fire, and water. And so, yeah, so it's definitely very purposeful.
And are you working on a new album currently?
Yep. I'm actually in Iowa City, Iowa right now, like a couple hours from where I live, and recording a new record at my cousin's house. It'll be out in the springtime if all goes well.
The spring of 2008?
Yep.
Awesome. Now, earlier I mentioned that you did a duet album with Jenny Halston called The Hallways of Always. How did that project come about?
Jenny Halston is a very talented woman. I used to live with her. The only time I ever didn't live on the farm was a few years ago. I lived in the Bay Area, San Francisco, California. And I went out there, intended to go on tour, and my car broke down, and so I ended up just living there for like 8 months and got to know these folks through some mutual friends. But one of those friends was Jenny Halston, and she sings in a band called Erasurada, which I really liked at that time and still really love. And so I ended up living with her and a bunch of these other kids in an old warehouse that had been converted into a living space. And so it was kind of basically squatting it. And so we would just sit around and play guitar and come up with songs and stuff. And we kind of always admired each other's styles. You know, the band she plays in is kind of no wave punk rock, you know. And so we thought, man, we ought to do a record together sometime. That was years ago. And it took us all these years to kind of get it together and finally do it. But, yeah, I met Jenny years ago. She's very talented.
One of my favorite songs on that album is You're Already Gone. That's one of my favorite songs on that album. You both have very distinct voices, and I think that's what makes the songs even more powerful is the different styles of vocals.
Yeah, she can sing like a bird, you know, and her punk rock group, she doesn't sing quite like that. It's more angular, and so she loves having this chance to sort of, have that softer side and show that she can really sing. And that's one that she wrote, actually. We kind of traded back and forth. I wrote some, and she wrote some, but that's one she wrote. And I agree with you. It's just a beautiful song.
For this show, we kind of promote bunking the commercial music scene. We take pleasure in ripping apart what I call pop country music and kind of giving the artists like you the stage to present your music to fans that might not have heard of you before. So what is your opinion in general of like the pop country or pop country scene of today?
My opinion about the kind of the pop country or young country, as some people call it, the really slick Nashville stuff that's coming out, I'm not into it. I can't get behind it. I can't really get behind a guy like Kenny Chesney or Toby Keith or who are the other guys? Keith Urban, Brad Paisley. I can't really. They're probably all great guys, and they probably love what they do. I just can't relate to what they're singing about. And all those racist jerks that are don't know anything about black culture, and then they come out with a song called Honky Tonk with Donka Donk.
Yeah.
And they're like cashing in on the very culture that they hate. You know, and that drives me crazy. These guys, I hear all these rednecks around where I live singing Honky Tonk with Donka Donk. They don't even know what that means.
Exactly.
They don't know that it came from like hip hop culture, you know. They wouldn't be saying it if they did, you know, because they're racist jerks.
So I don't suppose if they were sitting at their country bar and, you know, a girl with a lot of back came in, I don't think they would understand and correlate the two between each other.
No, but that's just one minor aspect of it, you know, but that's just a little example. But, you know, those guys probably have fun on what they do, and bless them. But I just, man, I grew up shoveling horse manure, and I just don't believe it when those guys say it,
sure.
I guess is what I mean. If they talk about their hard life, like, I don't believe it, man.
Sure.
And I can't deal with anything fake, and a lot of pop country shit is just fake, man.
Right.
Pardon my language. I don't know if
there's... No, that's fine. There's an explicit lyrics label on the podcast, so you're fine.
Okay, I was trying to avoid any expletives, but I let one slip.
No, that's fine. So, what kind of artists are you listening to now? I mean, what do you have in the CD deck?
Recently I've been listening to a lot of the Pogues, which is an Irish band that kind of mixed a lot of punk influences with their music. Their heyday was like in the 80s, and they still play though. Sometimes I play with them, but I've been listening to a lot of the Pogues. I like some new hip hop that's coming out. Like, there's a new Aesop Rock that just came out that I like, and he's a great example of a guy that can really weave words and twist wordplay. I like some of that new underground hip hop that's coming out, and I'm trying to think of what else. Actually, Jenny Hoyston has a new record that's fixing to come out. Jenny Hoyston's new record is amazing. It's on Southern Records, and I've been listening to that a lot lately. You're going to love that.
Oh, definitely.
Solo record, awesome.
So I know that we're taping this about a month early before we actually broadcast the show, but what are your tour plans for the next couple months?
I'll be starting tour September 8th, and I'll be touring around the lower 48 of the United States until about the middle of October, and I'll be East Coast to West Coast, and you can find all that on my website, williamelliottwhitmore.com, but got all my tour dates and stuff, and then after that, I'm touring with the Pogues, incidentally.
Oh, okay.
For a couple weeks, in the fall, which I'm looking forward to as well.
Now, is that going to be overseas, or is it going to be stateside?
Nope, that'll be here. I'll be here in the States. I'm not exactly sure where yet, east or west or middle coast. I don't know for sure yet, but it'll be on the Intertron, anyone that wants to look it up.
So when you're planning a tour, I mean, do you have a publicist and such that line that all up and you kind of go wherever they tell you to, or do you kind of have some personal certain venues that you like to go to?
I have the fortune of having a booking agent who is an old friend. I did it for years with just booking my own shows, you know, and just calling people up and playing in basements and just doing that for years. But I just recently have gotten a booking agent, and he's a good enough friend that we work together, and I kind of tell him where I'd like to go, and he helps arrange it, and we compromise. It's pretty awesome, you know, and he does all the work, and I don't really have a computer or anything, so I can't even hardly do my own stuff. You know, I need him to book my shows, and so we kind of work together see what each other needs.
Sure. Now, on your new album that's coming out in spring of next year, can you kind of give us an idea of what to look for, or can you kind of give us some hints on what's going to be featured on the album?
I'm really excited about this new stuff. I'm trying some different stuff. You know, I want to be a little challenging. I mean, it's definitely going to be me, for sure. It ain't going to be no techno record or nothing, which nothing wrong with techno. It's just, it ain't going to change that much, but I'm looking to try some different things sonically and style wise, and I've been kind of writing in different styles, trying to write a little more outwardly, and kind of stopped being depressed and just started getting pissed off, basically. Like, it's going to be called The Old Devils, and it's basically about how the rich white people have ruined it for a lot of people in the world, and just how they've been doing it for thousands of years, and it's time to declare mutiny on the ship, man. And just kind of, just mad about the state of the world. Like, look what they're doing. They're dropping bombs on innocent people. And look what these people are doing up top. They speak for us, and they're murdering people. And just kind of started getting mad. And so, I'm, you know, kind of writing writing a lot about that. Yeah, I can't write a political like Bob Dylan or Ben Harper or somebody, but I'm trying my own slant at it, while trying to stay poetic and not overly, what do I want to say? I don't want to give the message away too easy, but you're going to know my feelings on some subjects.
Sure.
For sure.
So it's obvious that you use songwriting as therapy for whatever you're feeling at the time, and I think that's the difference between something that's on your album and something that's on a lot of the pop country albums is you're dealing with raw, true emotion, and you're getting it out, and you're pouring your heart out, either it be, you know, like I said, depressed or angry, whereas a lot of this other stuff that's come out is just kind of loop, whatever's hot right now, loop.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. It's a healing thing for me, and lots of art is like that. People, you know, feel compelled to paint pictures or take photographs or do performance art. Like, that's amazing. That's what art's for. But just for me, it's music, you know. But yeah, you bring up a good point of those other guys, those young country guys. Like, they don't even write those songs. Those guys, like, when you hear a Kenny Chesney song, he didn't write that. Like, a team of songwriters wrote the tune.
Sure.
You know, like, he just comes in, and he's a handsome guy, and he can sing, so he's the face and shit. But that's the whole Nashville machine. Like, those guys don't write those songs, man. I don't get that. I kind of just don't get it.
We've had other artists that have been on the show that have kind of described it as, you know, they bring four songwriters into a room and they write a song. Well, how can four people have the same feeling about something at the same time? And that's kind of a good example of it as well.
Yeah, and it's fine. You know, I'm not even ragging on them, really. That's their art. You know, those songwriters can't sing. And they're probably ugly nerds or whatever, or so forth. Like, so they're like, well, I can write a hell of a song, but I need this guy to sing it. You know, and so he's getting a song out there, I guess. So, you know, maybe it's not all bad. I don't know. But
sure.
It's so much of a disconnect between the guy who wrote it and the guy singing it. I don't see how you can get behind it. I don't know. I don't get it.
And that's like, you know, I've sat down and I've listened, like, from one of your albums from beginning to end, and even in, you know, six or seven songs, you don't lose the attention of the listener. You know, every song doesn't sound the same, and every song has a different meaning. And like I said, I to me, you're one of the most unbelievable lyricists that I've heard. And I commend you for your work and your music. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that appreciate it very much.
Oh, man, well, thank you so much. I'm honored to even talk to you, man. Thanks for kind of letting me rant. And I'm just honored you'd even want to speak to me.
So people can check out your MySpace as well. You have a MySpace.
I didn't want to get one for a really long time, but then people started just making them without asking me.
Yeah.
So I took one, and now I'm kind of running my own these days. But it's not William Elliott. William, I forget. It's William Elliott Whitmore on MySpace, I believe. Yeah, I can't even remember the name of it.
There you go. And then you also have a web.
But you can find it. Yeah.
Sure. I think if you just type in on the music tab, just type your name in, it'll come up. And you also have a regular website, which is www.WilliamElliottWhitmore.com, correct? All right, William. Well, hey, I appreciate you taking the time out. And like I said, we here at Burns and IP appreciate your music. And I know that there's a lot of other people out there. And just keep on doing what you're doing, man.
Thank you very much. And have a good day.
All right.
season rolls around. When winter rolls around,
we can't do this anymore. We can't bring ourselves to change.
This is Jenny Hoyston, and you're listening to It Burns When I Pee, home of real country music.
All right, we're back. And let me tell you, it was awesome getting to talk to William. He's a really down-to-earth guy, and he's really cool. And I hope you guys enjoyed those songs we played. It was really hard to pick. This guy is amazing. It's hard to pick just a couple songs of his to play. But definitely check him out at WilliamElliottWhitmore.com, and also check him out on MySpace. Now I want to announce the new giveaway that It Burns When I Pee is having. It's the William Elliott Whitmore trivia question. And the question is, where is William Elliott Whitmore from? He talked about it in the interview. So go ahead and email us at itburnswhenip86@gmail.com. Put WEW trivia in the subject line and give us the answer of where he's from. And tell us where you're from and your name and how we can get a hold of you. And the winner will get one of the promotional CDs from the Song of the Blackbird album. Southern Records was kind enough to send us a couple of those. So go ahead, email us with the answer to the trivia question, and we'll get back to you guys as soon as possible. The first one we get is going to win one, and we'll go from there. So now I want to introduce the one and only Peter Chestnut. Of course, I want to give a little parental advisory for this segment. We never know what's coming out of Peter's mouth, but we're going to welcome back to the show Peter Chestnut. Peter, take it away.
Peter Chestnut here for another of This Week in Sex. This week's episode is entitled, Why Do I Trust You So Much? I was seeing a girl for about 2 weeks when I decided it would be a great idea to break out a video camera and record us having sex. When I did so, she said, okay. I turned it on, and she said, why do I trust you so much? And I said, I don't know. Why do you trust me so much? And she replied back with an, I don't know, and I told her to turn her ass over, turn around. And when she did so, I videotaped me giving it to her very hard from behind. This is a lesson for all you ladies out there to not do the same and never trust Peter Chestnut. Thank you, and this has been another installment of This Week in Sex. Back to you, Blake.
Hey there, friends. You've heard us talk about TakeCountryBeck.com many times on the show, but have you checked them out lately? They've been on the internet for 7 years. They have tons of news, reviews, and much more. TakeCountryBeck.com is committed to promoting and supporting our kind of traditional country, Americana, and blues music. They are also active members of the Roots Music Association. So check them out today and become informed and entertained. If it wasn't for TakeCountryBeck.com, It Burns When I Pee wouldn't be what it is today. So don't let PCS get the best of you. Go check them out. TakeCountryBeck.com. Wow, it looks like Peter was a little racy this time, but Peter's a good guy, a little perverted, a little sick in the mind, but good to have on the show once in a while. I also want to remind everybody to go to section86.com, and you can download and listen to 4 podcasts. One is Creative Tragedy with Aaron Hughes, and of course Vertebreaker with the Hughes Brothers and many more. And they have the Kiwani Sports League podcast, which is our fantasy football league. And it's a funny show. It's good to listen to once in a while, even if you're not a fan of football. And then also you can, of course, check out It Burns When I Pee. So section86.com for all your podcast needs. And now I want to introduce our good buddy Jared, Jared Morningstar from Michigan. He's going to give us a review here. We're going to review Robbie Foulkes' album called Revenge.
Hey, this is Jared Morningstar from CDReviews.com and a regular guest on It Burns When I Pee. And I'm back for another CD review this episode. And on this episode, I will be talking about the latest release from Robbie Foulkes, the live album titled Revenge. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Robbie Foulkes, he just might be the smartest songwriter in the entire underground country movement. He's very quick-witted, and he can come up with lines, quick-humored lines, better than maybe anyone else out there. His sense of humor is great. A friend of mine, who is also into the underground style of country music, told me that he's probably the closest thing living today to Roger Miller, and that compliment made a lot of sense to me, and I think that it's pretty accurate. He's just as funny as he is smart, and it makes for a really interesting experience to listen to any of his records. Well, one thing about him is he's always hated live albums. He says that, you know, they're completely unoriginal, and they just rehash old hits, you know, and they're usually worse versions than the studio versions. So what he did when he finally released his live album is to make it fresh, he included a lot of covers of older traditional songs, and as well as a few new originals to mix it up a little bit. Plus, he didn't go with, like, just the complete, you know, greatest song strategy. So it makes for an interesting listen for a few reasons. Now, the humor of Foulkes comes through right away on the album on the first disc. It's a 2-disc set, and I'll get to more about that in a minute. But the humor comes on right away with We're on the Road. And it's just a nice little fun track about joking around about how, you know, cheap live albums are to make, and how record companies are always looking for, you know, the cheap way out, and it's just a fun little song to introduce the record. Now, you get that, and then you also get a lot of his more intelligent songs on both discs. It's interesting because you get both sides of the Robbie Foulkes live experience on this release. You get the first disc, which is with full band. You get to hear Foulkes' great touring band live on that disc. And the second disc is all acoustic. And the song selection of Foulkes made for the release is outstanding. On the first disc, you get a lot of his better songs from pretty much, you know, a span of his entire career. You get great songs from his first album, which was on Bloodshot, called Country Love Songs. You get The Buck Starts Here. You get Rock Bottom, Population One. Both kind of have like that old Bakersfield type sound. reminiscent of Buck Owens, which, you know, the Buck starts here as a tribute to him, and Rock Bottom, which could be just as easily been a Dwight Yoakam song. The quick wit is amazing, and it's there, not just in those two songs, but throughout the whole record. And it goes throughout his whole career. I mean, you have selections from just about every album. Even from his one major record or major label release, Let's Kill Saturday Night, you get the title track of that album on here, which is more of a upbeat, rocking type number. And then you get a couple of songs from his, not really country release, but it's more of like this easy listening rock release with some excellent lyrics. And you get a couple of different versions there, Mad at a Girl. He basically covers every album. And that's just on the first disc alone. Now, on the second disc is where you get some more of the obscure tracks. And that's the one that's all acoustic. And there, you know, when I say obscure, you get some great covers like the Carter Family's A Way Out on the Old Saint Sabbath. It's a great duet with Kelly Hogan. You get some new tracks like I Like Being Left Alone, which pretty much states his boredom of songwriting, like kind of like his writer's block song, which is kind of cool. And then you also get you hear Robbie Falk's humor on this too as well. He actually does a cover of Cher's Believe, and as funny as that might sound, and it's hilarious. He even does like the hiccups, you know, Cher's robotic hiccups on the track, which makes for a really entertaining listen. But yet, if a song can be both. If a cover song can be both passionate and funny at the same time, that song might be it. Really interesting to listen to, and even if you might have laughed at that song before, this song will make Robbie's version will make you laugh even harder. But there's something else about it that makes it a more interesting listen. So you get that disc, which has the obscure stuff, and then you get a lot of the more familiar Robbie Falk songs on the first disc with the full band. And, you know, there are a couple of songs on the record itself that could easily be, you know, the best songs on Falk's other releases. Fixin' to Fall is a definite standout. And I don't know if Robbie will eventually put it on one of the studio records or not, but that song is worth owning this release all by itself. Robbie Falk's is the winner, and so is this disc. Now, the only thing this disc is missing, and I wish he would have included, is maybe a couple of tracks from his latest studio record, which was called Georgia Hard from 2005. It was a great 70s country record. And those songs, a couple of songs there are left off. So, that's maybe like the only thing I can think of that detracts from the record. And it's so small. If you like Falk, this is a definite pickup. And if you're not familiar with Robbie Falk, you might still want to check this out because you get a great selection of his songs. And if you like great songwriting, great, you know, traditional in a sense, but a lot of humor in it as well, it's a great record to pick up. Again, it's called Robbie Falk's Revenge. It was released on Yep Rock Records earlier this year. And I would recommend it to just about anybody who wants to go pick it up. So, until next time, I will ask everybody to take it easy, and I will catch you again soon.
Heads up, I'm a-fixin' to fall hard first for a sweet little fixin'. Only took a minute, but I think I'll be in it for the long haul.
She's got me at my wits' end, and I can't wait till the kissing part kicks in.
Never been in love, but I'm fixin' to fall. So what's one like you doing in a heart like mine?
Standing there like a jewel in the rough. Whoever loves you, it ain't enough. So gentlemen, take two steps back. Sparks gonna fly, ice is gonna crack. This here's a danger zone. Heads up, I'm a-fixin' to fall hard first for a sweet little fixin'. But I think I'll be in it for the long haul. She's got me at my wit's end. I can't wait till the kitchen bar kicks in. Never been in love, but I'm fixin' to fall.
Come on, Brad.
next time on It Burns When I Pee.
Episode number 8 is going to feature an interview with Lonesome Wyatt of Those Poor Bastards. We will also have some tricks and treats. So join us on October 29th for the first annual It Burns When I Pee Halloween special. If you don't download it, we will egg your house.
Well, it's about that time to round up the show. I want to thank William Elliott Whitmore for being on the show. I want to thank Peter Chestnut. And I also want to thank Jared. And Jared, again, congratulations on that new job, buddy. Hopefully it won't keep you from being able to be on the show quite a bit. I also wanted to announce that we're going to play one more William Elliott Whitmore song, and it's going to be called Lord Only Knows. And it's one of my favorite songs. So after this segment, we're going to roll into that song. And I want to thank, again, TakeCountryBack.com, TwangNation.com, Section 86 for hosting the podcast, and everybody involved, Cheyenne, and everybody involved. I really appreciate it, and I really appreciate all you fans downloading the show. Love to hear from you again. Shoot us an email. Shoot us a message on the MySpace. Definitely call and dial in number. Tell us where you're from and tell us what you think of the show. We'd love to hear from you. Again, thanks to everybody involved for making this show possible. And I want to say goodbye to everybody, and we'll see you next time. And a reminder that the next show, episode 8, is going to be our Halloween episode. And as of right now, we're scheduled to have Lonesome Wyatt from Those Poor Bastards on. So check him out. And again, this is William Elliott Whitmore and the song called Lord Only Knows.
Well, them loved ones who were paddling for that far shore, well, they're lilies of the field who will bloom evermore. Well, they have gone over to the next phase and brought to an end their earthly days. And Lord only knows how it's gonna end, who stays and who goes. Lord only knows. And every good chapter, it comes to a close. Nothing lasts forever.
looks like we went over on time again. Oh, well, time well spent if you ask me. Thanks to William for being on the show. Jared has delivered another great review, but he always does. And congrats on the new job, Jared. And what can I say about my good pal Peter? What a pervert, but he always delivers. At least that's what I hear. I need a lot of penicillin to find out, I'm sure. Anyways, thanks everyone for listening and continuing to support us. If you're new to our show, where the hell have you been? If it is your first time, make sure to check out the rest of our shows at section86.com. Thanks again, Andy, you big cutie, for helping to put this show out to the world. Night-night, y'all, and get your hang on. Boo! Gotcha. Just want to remind y'all that episode number 8 is our Halloween special featuring Lonesome Wyatt from Those Poor Bastards.
You told me that you're always gonna be my wife, but all you did was gone and done destroyed my life. I'll never get over you. Cold blooded.